Welcome to RoboMo Radio. This episode was brought to you by Highland Internet. Welcome to real high-speed internet. Highland has the fastest internet speeds of any provider, being the first to provide the UP with fiber internet. Highland offers specialized plans for any occasion, such as gaming, working, or everyday life, with each plan offering up to 2 gigs. Highland also has the First Responder and Teacher of the Month awards to give back to the people in our community who give 110% every day. Highland has been a proud sponsor of the Escanaba RoboMos for 2 years now. Thank you to Highland for sponsoring this episode of RoboMo Radio. If you want any more information, you can call them at 888-212-0054. Now it's time for RoboMo Radio. Hi, my name is Ty Peterson.
And I'm Noah Deer.
And we are RoboMo Radio. So this is going to be our first week of doing our radio show, and we're very, very excited to put it on air and see how it goes.
Yeah, there will be a total of 8 weeks on the radio where we will share things like news, tech history, game reviews, and interviews with other teams and people in our own team.
Up next is my interview for the game overview. Hi, my name's Ty Peterson, and in the studio with me is A. Perryman and Noah Deer. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Pretty good.
All right, so I'm really, really excited about this year's game, but I just need a little bit more clarification on what's going on.
Yeah, so this game is Crescendo, which is awesome because it's music-themed this time, and I think I love the idea of music, and it's really new, and First has not done a game like this before. And I think it'll challenge robots a lot in terms of, like, just every ability they can pull out of their pocket. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so in this game, we have a bunch of different parts to the field. We have speakers and amplifiers and a stage and even microphones. And we have the game piece, which is called a note. It's kind of ironic because it's just it's a orange ring.
Mm. So you listed off like an amp, a microphone, a speaker. What do you mean by those? Are they just like what you would imagine a microphone to be, or is it something a little bit different for the robotics competition?
The way these game pieces work is when we score so many into the amplifier, we can make the speaker amplified. That makes it so every time we shoot into the speaker.
You're telling me that you can like supercharge, make the speaker like way better than it originally was. You would get more points. Do you know if you can use this more than once per game?
I'll let Noah answer that one for you.
So the way the amplifier works and how it amplifies is you got to get 4 notes in the amplifier. And then we have what's called a human player. It's like a member of the drive team who is stationed at these amplifiers. And they press a button that amplifies the entire field for their side of the field with their alliance. And what that basically does is, so you regularly get 2 points for scoring 1 in the speaker, but instead of 2 when it's amplified, you get 5 points, and that lasts for 10 seconds before you have to start again. So you can use it more than once, and it's a very useful strategy. So it's going to be interesting to see how people use that.
And I want you guys to tell me a little bit more about the stage and the microphone. So when do you use that? Is it every single like second, or is it?
So for the stage specifically, there's this thing on the stage. There's 3 of them. They're called the trap. When you score into the trap at any point in the game, it's 5 points towards your alliance. And then the microphone, like you said, that is scored by the human player. The human player throws a high note, which is not just a normal orange ring. It's an orange ring with white stripes on it, and they throw it up and land it on the microphone for 3 points.
Oh, so for the microphone, a human has to throw it, not a robot.
Yeah, this year it's kind of special because we have 2 human players.
Oh, and other years you wouldn't?
In the past years, we've only had 1.
All right, well, thank you today for explaining all that to me.
You're welcome.
Today I've been talking with Noah Deer and A. Perryman, and I am Ty Peterson.
Up next is UP Team Interviews with Elijah Duborn on RoboMo Radio.
This is Elijah Dubord, and we're interviewing Parker Munson and Jamie Munson. Could you guys tell me what team you're from?
The Barker-Verharris NASA Bronconauts.
And what's your team number?
9548.
So how many years have you been on the robotics team?
This is our first year. We're rookies.
Nice. How's it going so far?
Pretty good. We got the robot almost finished, and we've set up a bunch of practice course parts.
Nice. What kind of role do you have on your team?
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm driver, and I help with making the logos and pins and stuff like that.
That's great. How many pins have you made so far?
I don't know, somewhere around like 200.
That's a lot of pins. What do you like about being on the robotics team?
We get to use a lot of like teamwork and talk and communicate with other people and learn a lot about how to build a robot and use teamwork to help put things together and make things work out. So
Mr. Munson, are you a mentor?
Just a little bit when I can help. The other two mentors that are there full-time aren't here right now, so I just help when I can. When I'm around, I help the kids out and with what they need to help build.
So you said the robot was almost built, right?
Yes.
Is it drivable yet?
Yes. We have it programmed and set up that we can drive it now.
That's amazing. Can you hang on the stage?
Yes, we could, but it was barely off the ground, but we're setting that up and fixing it, so yeah.
What kind of challenges have you faced while being on the team?
Things might not work properly, so we had to go back and take something apart and put it back together. And sometimes, like, things won't go the way you want it to, so you have to reprogram something or do it again. So that's what we faced.
Yeah. Have you learned anything while being on the team?
Yeah, a lot more about communication and trying to figure out more problems. And I've learned how to build the robot and fix different electrical problems, so yeah.
And Mr. Munson, is this your first year mentoring?
Yes. Yeah, they had a team like 3 years ago that they quit doing robotics, so we're just starting it back up there, and hopefully we can keep it going for a while.
Yeah, I heard about that. Do you know why the team shut down?
I don't know why. Just I think they were starting to run a lot of kids, and I just kind of went by the wayside, I guess, for a little bit, and trying to get it up and start it back up again, and hopefully get a few more kids involved in it, and get them going back into the robotics and working together, and hopefully work together a little better and get used to working with each other and all the other stuff that has to go with it being in robotics.
I'm glad you guys are back. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad they're getting back into it. It's kind of nice. It's something that I've been trying to pushing to get. And you know, Matt and Pat, the other two mentors, really thankful for them getting it started.
I certainly wish you good luck this season. I'm talking with Parker Munson and Jamie Munson. Now I'm being joined by Matthew and Zachary Anderson, who are also with 9548, the NASA Bronconauts. How many years have you guys been on the robotics team?
This is our first year, rookie year.
First year. Okay. I've been to a few competitions before, though.
Yeah, you're probably the most experienced member on our team because you helped your cousins out with the mid-pin, the Wolverine circuit breakers.
What do you like about being on the robotics team, Zachary?
Gives me a chance to, like, practice coding, which I haven't really been able to do much with actual robots.
What about you, Mr. Anderson?
It's a good challenge. There's a lot of different things that need to be done, and we're a new team. We're slugging along. There's lots of stuff for us to learn, and there's a bit of a steep learning curve when we're kind of throwing ourselves into it here, but we're getting through it.
Is it hard to code?
Well, transitioning from things like I used to code video games now to robots is definitely a difficult transition, yeah.
So how's it going?
Pretty good. We got just about everything I've tried to do has either worked out or close to worked out, except for a few little tricks.
Your nemesis, the firmware.
What are some things you learned while being on the team, Zachary?
Coding robots is way different than coding video games.
Can you tell me a bit about what events you're participating in?
We'll be participating in the Escanaba event for week 2. And then week 3 will be at the LSSU in Sault Ste. Marie.
We certainly wish you luck. I'm talking with Matthew Anderson and Zachary Anderson. I'm Elijah Dubord. This is Robomo Radio.
Up next on Robomo Radio, we have our team mentor interview.
I'm Caroline Fermansky. Hi, how are you?
I am good.
Could you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Gabe Kluka. I'm the head mentor of the Escanaba Robotics Program.
And how long have you been part of the team?
I have been a part of the team since 2012. So I started getting involved the second year after it came together.
How did you first become involved in the team?
It was more of a thing through work more than anything. At the time, the owner of EMP, Brian Larsh, was very encouraging of us to get involved with it. And I was doing robotics, industrial robotics professionally. So it seemed like a good fit. So I went over and started hanging out.
Nice. And you have been doing this ever since?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I got more and more involved as the years went on. I started doing robot inspection as a way to volunteer for the team and got to know a bunch of the teams in the area and got to understand a lot more of how the program worked. And then after some time, we had the last head coach, Bob Retlick, moved away, and they were looking for somebody to fill the void, so I stepped in.
That's awesome. So since becoming a Robomo, you've worked with a lot of students. What are some of the things you try and teach us?
The big thing for me is treat other people how you want to be treated, right? I try to treat all the students with respect. I treat you like an adult until you don't act like you want to be treated like an adult, but I think it works out when I treat you like an adult. We really want to try to get you into the mindset of being able to produce something from an idea. So go from maybe a little scribble on a piece of paper up to something that is functional, whether it's a little robot tool cart or the robot itself.
And the program that robotics is a part of is called FIRST, and they teach us...
Gracious professionalism.
Yes. So how do you help teach gracious professionalism?
Well, I think gracious professionalism is an interesting concept to me, and it's one of the reasons why I love the program. It's probably the main reason, and it is the idea that we compete like heck with the other teams while helping them, and it's treating people graciously. It's acting reasonably in situations that are very stressful. The robot competitions, as you know, you've been part of this, can be high stress, right? There's a lot on the line. So it is the idea that you can be a very high-performing competitor, but also be a really decent person and help other teams, even a team that you might be competing against in the next match.
So we know that you have a STEM-related job.
Yes.
And you actually became involved in robotics from that job.
Correct.
And how do you use some of the things you've learned from being a mentor in robotics in your daily life?
Oh, boy. It makes me a better troubleshooter. Anything you can do that is hands-on, like robotics, really drives you to become a better troubleshooter, whether it's figuring out why you have a short circuit or why something isn't working mechanically. I also I manage people, and it helps with that to some extent. I'm not a yeller and a screamer, as you know. I don't believe in it. I don't think you get much out of yelling at people. So I think you're better off kind of walking them through things and helping them see your point of view easier than by, you know, raising your voice.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how do you think robotics helps prepare students for their future career, especially in STEM?
I think it really gives I think it gives the student a chance to experience a wide variety of things that you aren't normally exposed to in high school life. A lot of us mentors refer to it as the ultimate shop class. It really is, because you are exposed to business things, whether it be fundraising or reaching out and getting sponsors. That's also fundraising, but interacting with the community like we are now, doing PR. Also, you know, working through any number of problems, learning how to wire, learning how to design in CAD, learning how to operate a 3D printer, learning how to operate a CNC router. You know, it gives you a really broad exposure to a lot of things that you wouldn't normally get in a standard high school classroom.
As students first join the team and they experience robotics, what changes do you see in them?
I see an improvement in confidence. I see people that are maybe not so forthcoming in maybe picking up a tool or making a decision, get a little more confident in their decision making, in their self-assuredness. Right? Sometimes we have to rein that back, but a lot of times you see kids that, you know, they don't really know their way around the tools at all, and then they wind up really picking it up and running with it. We've had a lot of students that have come through the program that have honestly discovered that they want to become an engineer or pursue a job in STEM.
That must be awesome to see.
It's very, very encouraging. There's a lot of the alumni of the program that have gone on to do some really neat things.
So what are you working on with our students right now?
Right now we're working on getting our robot ready to go for competition. So we have a completely built robot 2 weeks away, which is unusual for us. We're usually banging into the last week and giving it over to programming. But at this point, we're at the point where we're trying to troubleshoot the programming issues more than we are the mechanical issues. There are some mechanical issues that we have to address, but our biggest issue right now, and where the rubber meets the road whenever we do this, is with the programming. And I'm happy that we're at the point where we are now.
And as you've become more experienced as a mentor, what have you learned?
Well, that everybody's different. Everybody has a different lever, right? A lot of times you have to let people do things and fail, right? It's okay to make mistakes and fail. As a matter of fact, we're happy. We like to say, let's get it together and break it fast. And the people I want breaking it and fixing it are the students.
And what would be your favorite part of being a mentor?
My favorite part? Oh, boy. I love the competitions. That is really my favorite part. I love going and seeing the culmination of all our hard work. And I get a little jammed up when we do well and everybody's happy. I honestly get a bit emotional about it, just because I see how much it means to the kids to succeed, right? We live in strange times, and it's nice to have something like this where you can put in effort and see a positive result.
Yes. I think the competitions are some of my favorite parts of the season.
Yes.
And, of course, doing well is great.
Yep.
And I think for the last question here, what advice would you give to young people interested in STEAM?
Don't be afraid to try different things and really get your hands on it and dive in. especially with things like CAD or programming, right? It is a very difficult thing to teach somebody to do it well. I can show you the ropes, but the best thing for you to do really is find something that you want to do and figure out how to make it work. Give yourself a little project or take a little idea and actually figure out how to take it from that idea to something that is functional, right? Go through it, make the mistakes, you know, read as much as you can, watch the YouTubes as much as you can to learn how something is put together and functions.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for asking me questions, Caroline. It was very nice.
Yeah, thank you. I've been talking with Gabe Kluka, the head coach of Escanaba's robotics team. I'm Caroline Fermansky, a student on that team.
Thanks, Caroline. Coming up next, we have an interview with a team member on RoboMo Radio.
Hi, I'm Abe Perryman. Today I'm here with Jack Peterson.
Hello.
I'm just going to be asking him a few questions about robotics. So, Jack, how long have you been in robotics?
I've been in robotics since my sixth grade year in middle school. So that's 4 years in robotics. This is my third year in FRC.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What is your favorite part of robotics?
My favorite thing to do in robotics is constructing the robot with the other team members. There's a lot of different things that you can do in robotics. There's a lot of coding, CAD work, but my favorite thing to do is just building.
Yeah, it's really interesting. What are you looking forward to in this season?
Another awesome competition. Competitions are easily the best part of robotics, along with hanging out with your friends and making cool stuff, but the competitions are always my favorite, so, yeah.
Yeah, I always love a good competition with robotics. What do you think about the crescendo theme for the game this year?
I love the music theme. I think it's awesome. Definitely different and new from our previous themes. I don't know. All my friends love it. We're all in band and do musician things, so that's cool.
All right, Jack. I've been talking with Jack Peterson, and I'm Abe Perryman. This segment gave us an insight to what our team member thinks of and is looking forward to in the 2024 robotics season.
I'm Noah Deer, and on this day in tech history, February 28th, MIT's Jay Forrester was given patent number 2,736,880 for his magnetic core memory in 1956, which became the standard memory device for computers during the time. It was later replaced by the solid state, or RAM drive. Forrester's patent sold for $500,000 in 1956, which is equivalent to almost $5 million today. I'm Noah Deer, and this has been On This Day in Tech History.
Thank you for tuning in today to RoboMo Radio, brought to you by Highline Internet. Welcome to Real High Speed Internet. Make sure to tune in next week while we get ready for our home competition and we interview teams across the state.